Here's a theme song, you know it's not a mean song. It's a good song, just as it should song. American Brews and Tunes.
Shibbity beeby doo!
And we're back with episode number 143 of American Brews and Tunes. My name is Stephen Johnston.
And I'm Becca.
Yep, that's right. For those of you who don't know, because I don't think we said on the last episode, Jesse is currently out of country.
In Norway.
Yeah, he's with the Norwegians doing...
Frozen?
Is that Norway?
I think so.
What are all those countries that are close together? There's Norway, Scandinavia...
Finland?
Finland? Sweden? No.
No.
Scandinavia.
I don't know.
I don't know. Do you know Leif Erikson?
No.
Have you heard of... That name doesn't ring a bell? Was he Norway or Scandinavian or Swedish?
I don't know.
It was that SpongeBob episode where he said, Happy Leif Erikson Day. Heading, heading, head Erigan. You don't...
No.
Okay. I'm also like 99% positive that Jesse and I said this exact same thing on the last episode, but it's been a while since we recorded it, so I can't remember. But he is taking a break from this week's episode, so Becca is filling in.
Hello.
I think we said that our next episode was going to be either a review of The Stage by Avenged Sevenfold. Or Death is a Warm Blanket by Microwave. But alas, we are not doing either of those two things.
Not Avenged Sevenfold.
No. Nor Microwave.
Nor Microwave.
Because Becca hasn't listened to those albums in preparation, so we're going to talk about something that Becca does know something about.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about the Blink-182 concert that we went to recently. A wonderful concert, I might add. But before we get into that, we will touch upon the other portion of this podcast. If it's not music, it is bevies. And what is the bevy this week?
Space Intruders.
By?
450 North.
Yep, that is a brewery out of, I don't remember where they're...
Slushies.
Columbus, Indiana. This is a smoothie-style sour ale brewed with coconut, double mango kiwi. I'm not sure what that means. Maybe they doubled up on those ingredients. Pineapple, apricot, and tangerine. It sounds pretty good. It's got quite a cover. It kind of looks...
7-Eleven.
I could see 7-Eleven. I was going to say,
slushy?
It says Space Intruders, and I'm thinking Space Invaders, like the Nintendo game. Not Nintendo, the arcade game. Really brightly colored.
Yeah.
Do you think the beer is going to be a certain color?
I hope so.
Well, we'll find out as I crack this.
Maybe red?
It smells like a slushy.
It is no color.
Well, it's a color. It's just not a fun color.
A boring color.
Yeah. You were hoping that it was going to be like... Bright blue, red or blue.
Like a 7-Eleven slushie.
Yeah. Oops. Well, that looks like you got some more sediment in yours than mine. How much do you want?
Just a little.
Is that good?
Sure.
Well, I'll give you some more if you want, but I probably should have inverted the can a couple times.
I can smell it already.
Yeah. What is the color? It kind of looks like pineapple juice.
Yeah, it's like a mixture of pineapple juice and apple juice.
Yeah,
it's a little bit more tan than...
Yeah, kind of like yellowy straw. It's not see-through. It's a little hazy.
No.
It smells like fruit cocktail, fruit juice. It smells a little tart. I don't know. It smells like pineapple juice.
It smells really good.
Yeah, it does smell pretty good. It clocks in at a whopping 5.3%, so it's not a high-gravity beer. It's kind of, I'm just going to say it's a juice drink that just happens to be called beer.
Yeah.
Let's say we give this a try.
Okay.
As we always say on American Brews and Tunes, shibbity beepo doo! Down the Space Invader hatch, which is very Blink-182 appropriate. This tastes like a carbonated fruit bevy.
It tastes like the juice that you get out of the machines at breakfast buffets, like at the school, like college cafeteria.
Mm-hmm. I taste the pineapple and I taste the coconut. Maybe the mango. I don't know about kiwi. Do you taste kiwi? That's a weird one to...
I always forget what kiwi tastes like because I never get it.
I really enjoy kiwi, but I'm the same way. I don't know. I can't think of the flavor, but I'm not picking up on it, if that makes sense at the same time. It's tropical.
It tastes like...
Definitely coconut. It tastes like orange juice, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like coconut, orange, mango, and pineapple.
It's the exact flavor you would think of if you order like a...
tangerine. That's probably the orangish flavor.
Yeah. If you ordered like a tropical mixed drink.
Yeah.
Like if a frozen tropical mixed drink.
If you're at the beach or somewhere else like that, then that is the kind of bevy one might expect with a little umbrella sticking out.
Yeah.
Well, if... I don't think that this is a particularly... what's the word I'm looking for? I don't think there's a depth of flavor that you get with some of those crazy stouts.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to change very much as it warms up. If it does, we will check back in. Otherwise, let's talk about the music portion of this, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Blink-182 came to Nashville on July 16th of 2023. How do I know this? Because we were there. So this stemmed from Blink-182's announcement in October of 2022 that Tom had rejoined the band, a new single was released with an album on the way, and a world tour was coming the following year.
Very exciting.
Yes, it was very exciting.
Big news.
Yeah, I would say so. Tom hadn't been with the band since early 2015.
Feels longer.
It does feel longer than that. And I hadn't seen Blink live with Tom in over a decade.
And I never had.
Correct. You never have seen them with Tom prior to this, at least. We were, however, able to stream the Coachella set from this year. So after they announced the world tour, all these dates that they were playing and all that stuff, it was like a week or two in advance of Coachella that they were announced as one of the headliners. Because it wasn't like people knew this was going to happen. It was kind of like a semi-surprise.
That was a surprise.
And then it was even more of a surprise that they ended up playing 2 days in a row because... Someone dropped off. The Frank Ocean? No.
I don't know.
Somebody. Kid Cudi.
Yes.
Maybe. Somebody dropped off of the Sunday show. So Blink played two shows in a row. Both were live streamed because I think they do that with most of Coachella. And we were able to stream that.
Mm-hmm.
And to my surprise, it was very good sounding. Because... Blink's not the best live band. Travis is the best live drummer. Mark and Tom are not super great singers or musicians. And whenever there's a live stream or a televised performance, it's even more noticeable.
Yeah.
If people aren't the best. You can't cover it up with live sound or like a speaker reverb or something to cover up mistakes. Tracks don't really blend in super well. That's why no one sounds good on SNL unless there's a super great sound mixer.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Well, she's also a very good live. But we were pleasantly surprised by Coachella. But Nashville, however, was the last stop on the U.S. dates of the first and second leg of their world tour.
Mm-hmm.
So we had plenty of live clips to see on, like, TikTok or Instagram or wherever you have. And I looked at pretty much every set list that they played.
Classic.
Because I couldn't resist.
Never a surprise for you.
No, I knew every song they were going to play. And they're not the kind of band that... They don't like Bruce Springsteen it or just kind of play whatever they feel. They have a live
memorized set. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty consistent for the whole tour. Not a problem. One thing that the band was doing was releasing custom shirts and posters on every single date of the tour.
That was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. Now, the shirt was done by the same artist, so there was a consistency between them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the front just says Blink-182, and then the back was some kind of variation of the bunny and doing something or being in a place relating to the venue.
Mm-hmm.
But the posters were done by varying artists. Some artists did two stops on the tour and had, like, sister posters, if you will. Mm-hmm. But every poster was very unique.
Very different styles.
Very different styles. the posters were limited to something like 200 per venue, which
is not a lot.
Considering these are all mostly sold out shows at hockey arenas. So for each merch stand, there was probably 50 posters.
If that.
Yeah, the t-shirts, there was a lot more of those. But they were limited at the same time. It wasn't like, well, they definitely sold out by the time we were there. But they also had put it out there that they were holding outside merch tent, like stands.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is kind of a newer thing. I don't remember this happening as much at concerts before.
No, I had seen it before a handful of times in the past, but now it seems like it's the new normal.
Yeah, it's odd.
Because I think concert merch has become super popular again.
It has.
For a while, people didn't care if they had gotten a t-shirt at a concert as much. Now it's like
post-COVID
back in style to wear, especially like with the younger crowd to wear to
probably
school.
Probably post-COVID that you can finally get to shows and people are really excited, to partake.
Yeah.
In like, a thing that happened during COVID was merch drops online.
Yeah, that's right.
That's kind of when that took off. Mm-hmm. And like they were giving like super exclusive things that you could only buy in this short window of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that would kind of come and go with COVID, but it really hasn't. It's still kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Kind of annoying because there were all these cool things that sell out immediately.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. And so we were aware that these concert posters were limited. And so what do? We showed up to the show 4 hours before doors.
I think earlier than that.
The doors were at 6. We got there at 2.
No, maybe.
Ish. So we got there about 4 hours before doors. Not before the show, before doors.
Yeah. And it was hot.
It was hot out. We at least had some shade, and there was about 60 people in front of us. And so I was like, there's a chance maybe we'll get these. Because mm-hmm. not everyone's going to buy a poster. But it was limited to per person, so there could have been 20 people in front of us. And, of course, they sold out before we got there. Much to my chagrin. Is that the proper phrase?
I don't think I've ever heard that word.
Much to
my
disappointment. That's a better phrase.
There we go.
So we lined up before doors because our next option was to get a poster from the inside. So we came up with a plan where we're going to split up and just run to a merch stand.
Yeah.
We each went to 2 different stands, so that means 4 stands total. And I got 0 posters, and Becca got
one
poster.
I secured the goods.
That was probably one of the last posters.
Yeah, it definitely was, because
not only at that stand, but in the venue in general.
Yeah, I think that the lady said I only have a few left, and she had to check to make sure there even was one for me.
Yeah, you kind of lucked out, and you probably could have sold her for $200 on the spot, but we'll keep it. The resellers were really taking advantage of the posters.
Yes.
Resellers. How rude.
How rude.
Anyways, we got the poster. Great success. And so we were ready for the show. Yeah. Now, the first opener was Kenny Hoopla, who we have seen 2 times before. We saw him at Riot Fest, which was okay. It was just him playing along with tracks, no live band.
Yeah. He climbed the
truss, the scaffold. Yeah. So it was he was high energy. The second time we saw him was a headlining show in a little Nashville club. Much better show. He had a full band with him. And so this was our 3rd time seeing him. Again, he had a band with him, and it was cool seeing him do the show in an arena.
Yeah.
He also did a backflip.
Yes. And I thought it was really cool that some of the, like, I was looking in the crowd the whole time, and there was people who seemed pretty uninterested when he came out on the stage, and then by the end of his performance, they were standing up and, like, jumping up and down and just really excited for him, so he was really able to...
Yeah, I think he won some people over.
Definitely. He was able to get the crowd ready, which doesn't always happen with an opener.
It's hard to do, especially in an arena.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough to do. After Kenny Hoopla was Turnstile. So they were the support on the entire tour. Kenny Hoopla only did a few days. We had seen Turnstile open for Newfound Glory back in 2015.
Yes.
Back when they were just a little baby band. But they have since blown up with their Grammy-nominated album, Glow On.
Mm-hmm.
Grammy-nominated, which is weird to say for them. Like Kenny Hoopla, they were also high energy, very tight set. They mostly did songs from their most recent album, Glow On. And their drummer had a very lengthy drum solo. It was very good, but it's a bold move for a band to do that when you're opening up for Travis Barker.
And I think they shocked the crowd who wasn't prepared for what they sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
There were some surprised people.
Yeah, it's a hardcore-ish band.
I don't think people were expecting that.
No. Well, people weren't expecting that when we saw them open up for Newfound Glory either.
No.
Yeah. I thought it was a great show. Becca went potty during my favorite song, which is Blackout. But that's...
Sorry.
That's okay. You gotta go. You gotta go.
Didn't want to get stuck in the line.
Ultimately a smart decision, because in between Turnstile and Blink, we went to the bevy booth, and the ladies' room line was very long.
Very long. It would have taken a long time.
We also had an eventful time trying to get a beer in between those two bands.
Yes,
we
did.
That one guy. Do you remember why he was so mad?
Because he thought that the bartender was overcharging him, because his price for a beer at a different booth was less expensive.
I think it was the same booth, because he said I was just like the he last one upstairs. I bought here was either that, but he's like why are you saying that it costs this much? And then literally right behind his head was a
price. Like
the price on the what do you call that thing?
The
menu board. It had the price, and it was exactly what they were saying the price was.
Not happy.
He should have been happy that he got a cheaper beer somewhere else.
He was yelling at this girl.
She was very calm, and then after he like cursed at her, he's like, "All right, we're not going to serve you.
Yeah.
Please leave." Crazy. But we got our bevies, no problem.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. And after we got our bevies, we made it back to our seats in time for Blink 182.
Mm-hmm.
They walked out to the song. Do you remember what it's called?
No.
Also, Sprach Zarathustra. Am I saying that right? Zarathustra.
Wait, what is that again?
It's the dun 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 bun, dun dun.
Yeah.
Bop, bop. Made famous by 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
It's a Strauss song. I can't remember if it's Richard Strauss or Johann Strauss. One of the Strausses.
Are they related?
Say what?
Are they related?
No.
Oh.
But there also is a Johann Strauss II, I think.
Okay.
One of them does big band stuff and wrote On the Blue Danube. Do, 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 do. Bum, bum. Bum, bum, which is also in 2001 A Space Odyssey. But I think those are different Strausses.
No relation.
No relation. Composers. Anyways, the stage was pretty cool. I've never seen a stage like that. The
stage was very cool.
It might have been a square, but it was tilted sideways, kind of like a diamond.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the top point facing straight into the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so their microphones were kind of pointing off into different directions.
So pretty much there was no bad seat.
No. And they moved around facing different mm-hmm. places for different songs. It was pretty cool. I've never seen something like that for mm-hmm. a stage. Lots of pyro, cryo, and indoor fireworks.
It's cryo.
Cryo's like the... It looks like smoke coming out. It goes... Pfft.
Oh, okay.
Also expensive, but looks really cool.
Yeah.
He didn't have like a... crazy thing where they strapped him into something, but his drum riser did go up about 20 feet in the air, which was pretty cool.
Yeah. I think he had a little seatbelt that he clipped.
But had a seatbelt. But I've seen ones where like he goes
upside down.
I've seen him go upside down before. He didn't do that.
He leaned forward.
Mm-hmm.
Back.
Yeah. When I saw him on tour, we went upside down. He was strapped in like more intensely than a roller coaster strap. Like NASCAR straps. But very, very cool. They opened the show with Anthem Part 2, which is among one of my favorite Blink-182 songs. Hard mm-hmm. to say for sure, because there's so many favorite songs. And other than the fact that they only played one song from Dude Ranch and nothing before Dude Ranch...
That's true.
It was a pretty good mix from every other album.
Yes.
I was surprised that they played two songs from Neighborhoods.
I was too.
But I was more surprised that they played two songs from the Skiba era.
Yeah,
Spoiler alert, I wasn't surprised at all because I knew the set list.
But
before I knew the set list, I was surprised that they were on there.
Yeah, and that was weird / cool to see Tom sing.
How do you think he sang the Skiba parts?
I think he did good.
I do too.
I think it made them feel more Blink.
Yes. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did Tom sound overall? Now, before you answer,
okay.
I have seen Tom twice before with Blink. You have not.
I haven't.
I saw him in 2009, where he definitely sounded like he was phoning it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw them in 2011, where he sounded better, but not great. Again, he is not a great singer live, just in general. Even in their heyday, their peak. He's always pitchy. He's always not the best. He does weird pronunciations. But you can tell when he's trying or not.
Right.
I saw him in 2008 with Angels and Airwaves on the Warped Tour. He sounded all right. But we saw them in 2021 with Angels and Airwaves, and I thought he sounded very good there.
He sounded great there.
Yeah. On that tour in particular, he was talking about how he was surprised they were selling out venues. And they're playing smaller clubs for them. And he's like, I can't believe people still care, which was, I was like, yeah, people still care. So I think he was like really happy to be playing to sold out crowds, which was not a surprise, but it was, he seemed genuine at that.
Right.
So that brings us to this show. How do you think he sounded?
I thought he sounded good.
Me too.
I thought he sounded better than, because again, I've never seen him with Blink before this, but any
other than videos
video that I had seen, it was kind of like, I was thinking the whole time, what, like, I know I had seen the videos of him not sounding so great, but the whole time in my head, I was still saying, what are people talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Because he sounded good.
Yeah. Yeah. He sounded genuine, like he was trying.
Yeah.
I mean, he was doing the weird pronunciations and goofy stuff, but he sounded
good.
That's
all part of the live.
He looked happy to be there.
I think people would miss those goofy things and funny pronunciations if he didn't do those live. It wouldn't be the same.
I agree, 100%.
And I had seen him with Angels and Airwaves at the same Warped Tour.
Yes.
And I don't really remember that because my main goal was to watch. I wanted to see Angels and Airwaves, obviously, but I was mainly saving my spot for Paramore. So that was pretty much what was going through my head at the time, so I don't really remember.
I remember.
Yeah.
It was me, Jake, Matt Reynolds, and maybe Mike Bolster.
Don't get me wrong. I was very excited to see him, but I was also, I mean, it was Hayley Williams was coming up, so that wasn't really my main.
That's fair enough.
Thing I was focused on.
I remember there was this older lady, she was definitely a mom or a grandma in the audience when we were watching Angels and Airwaves, and she was kind of like, I think getting annoyed that people were like close or brushing up maybe against her, and so this
for
this,
the Warped Tour.
Yeah, this ran. We weren't super duper close. This one dude kept like pointing, like going over to us and like saying, "Let's crowd surf her." We didn't, but it was just making a funny joke.
I remember that being extremely hot Warped Tour.
It was every Warped Tour is hot.
But I remember that one being bad.
I think this was the year that Matt Reynolds showed up late because of, Nick Machois. Maybe it was with his cousin Nick. But I think it was like me and Jake were in the crowd for Real Big Fish. And then we see Nick, his cousin, run up. And we're like, where's Matt? And he's like, he was right behind me. And then a few minutes later, Matt Reynolds showed up and he's like doubled over. And he says, Baconator.
Oh, no.
So that's what I think of every time I think of the Baconator. But that's neither here nor there. So, I think I said that one of my favorite songs was Anthem Part 2. I also really liked seeing Up All Night and Violence.
Mm-hmm.
Because those aren't like, Up All Night, I guess, was kind of a single, but Violence it is not.
Mm-mm.
And I think that's a fun song that lends itself to some pretty crazy drumming by Travis.
A good live show song.
Agreed. But it's hard for me to pick a favorite song. What was yours? Reckless Abandon?
Yes, I was going to say, I think you know.
Yeah.
That was really cool because I was very excited when we had seen them with Skiba to see that song. But again, didn't quite feel the same. So to see them with Tom and the band singing that song, it was felt like I was back in.
It felt like all was right with the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not even trying to be funny.
No, that's not a joke. Do you have anything else to say about that show?
I thought that the props that they used, the stage decor, was really awesome.
They had some inflatables. There was an ambulance with the bunny
there
driving.
There was an ambulance.
There was just the bunny itself.
It seemed like they're, again, from seeing videos in the past, it seems like they were, like, very excited to be playing together. Like, it seemed like they were enjoying themselves, where...
Mark always enjoys himself.
Right, where it kind of seemed like before maybe Tom wasn't enjoying himself, I don't know. But it seemed like they were really enjoying themselves, and it was fun to watch them having so much fun. I think that was, like, the coolest part, was to be able to stand there and be like, they're having so much fun.
And also, they... It was a cool part right before they played. It might have been cynical. I can't remember. But they talked about Adam Willard and Matt Skiba.
Yes.
How Adam Willard used to be in Angels and Airwaves and Skiba used to be in Blink, and how Skiba and Adam Willard are both in
Alkaline
Trio. And it was just kind of like, they're talking about it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like things where that I wouldn't ever expect them to reference weird.
Exactly.
Potentially awkward stuff.
Yeah, it was almost like you thought it was going to be like this big. And it was almost like everybody else kind of had the same feeling in the crowd. Like it was kind of like a hush-hush thing. Like, oh, don't mention Skiba.
But they did. And there was there was once, and there were plenty of TikTok or Instagram videos, but it's fine. Mark did something. He definitely referenced Tom quitting at one point in time.
Yeah, he did. He
made
was
a
like,
funny joke about it.
Yeah, they didn't laugh at Tom's joke. And he was like, he said something like, everyone better laugh or Tom will quit the band again.
Something goofy. But let me think. It's up there for one of my favorite shows.
And was it your favorite Blink show?
Either that or the first time I saw them, and I would only say the first time I saw them because
it was the
first time I saw them. Mm-hmm. That was 2009. It was at the Pittsburgh, not arena. What do you call that? The outside thing, amphitheater. And I had a seat, but it was in like the farther away seats.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Tom was definitely phoning it in, and it was literally just the greatest hits show.
Right.
It was before Neighborhoods came out; they didn't play anything off of that album. But it was just like the I've been waiting my whole life to see them. This is the as shows like so that was like my experience was why that one's up there.
Right.
As far as like the shows go, this one blew it out of the water.
Yeah,
way better.
This was obviously my favorite time seeing them.
Yeah,
and I think for me too, it was up there on one of my favorite shows because I think it was cool to see you see them back together because I had never seen Tom in the band with you, so it was cool to experience that.
Very true.
I cried. I don't think you cried.
No, I don't cry.
I definitely got emotional with them singing together.
I was emotional. I just didn't cry.
Oh, I cried for sure. Tears.
No. I can't show my weakness at a Blink show.
I think there were definitely other guys crying. I saw for sure.
Oh, I know there were.
It was also really cool to see families. There was a lot of couples with young children.
There were children
really
there.
Cool to see.
But the majority of the demographic was 30 to 40.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool, though, to see, like, the dads with their kids holding them up. And
there was even teenagers and parents that were probably a few years older than us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Weird.
That was really cool to see.
Really cool. The only thing to look forward to now is the album. Which there has been no announcement.
No,
this episode is probably going to come out 2 weeks after we record, so maybe they'll announce it in that time. I don't know. Hopefully, if all goes right with the world.
Yeah, all goes right with the world.
Who knows? Maybe the world will end before then.
Okay.
Anything is possible.
No.
Mm-mm. Do you have anything else to say about the Blink-182 show?
It was great. It was the second best concert that I had been to this year. And...
unacceptable.
Well, I mean, come on.
I'll let it slide.
It was...
What was the other show?
Well, obviously.
Obviously what?
Taylor Swift, duh.
Yeah. I'll let it slide.
But if Taylor Swift was not this year, then this would have been the best concert. And we went to quite a few this year so far.
Yeah, and it's not even Rocktober yet.
No, it's not Rocktober yet. No. But yeah, I think it was a great show. It felt very nostalgic. I felt... like I was in high school again, in a good way, because I hated high school. But I felt like I was just like, it felt like you could let loose.
Yeah.
No, you can't always do that. You don't always feel like that at a concert.
I bought a bucket hat.
You bought a bucket hat.
I don't even like bucket hats, and I bought one.
Not one. You wear it all the time.
Yeah. Unless I'm overheated. That thing really traps heat in.
Yeah. The only thing I think would have made it better is if Jesse was there.
Eh, what can you
that
do?
That would have been fun if Jesse was there.
Alas,
he was not.
He was in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
And he didn't go to the Blink 182 Minnesota show.
What?
I know. Terrible
Maybe
decision.
Maybe it was snowing.
No, it was May.
But I feel like in my head it's always snowing in Minnesota. Like, I just picture every morning Jesse shoveling his way to his car.
It's valid. Anyways, back to the beer. How does it taste now that we are half hour in and the beer has warmed up a hair?
Maybe a little bit more tart.
Maybe. Still just as fruity.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy this brew. Would I get it again? Maybe.
Definitely a juice.
It's a juice. I wouldn't seek it out, but I'm just guessing. I'm not basing this on anything. I'm guessing that there are different versions of this beer where they have different iterations with different fruit choices.
Mm-hmm.
So I would try a different one. But it's a very good...
If you like tropical flavors.
Yeah, it's a very good representation of this style. I think it's a good beer, but it's not necessarily up my alley, so...
It's a little thick for me.
It's a smoothie style.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm not... But it's good.
Yeah. Anyways, let's say that we finish this and sign off.
Okay.
As we always say on American Brews and Tunes... Down the Space Invader hatch. Also, Blink-182 did play Aliens Exist, and it was great.
And now aliens do exist, and Tom was right.
Remember when Tom said, what did he say?
He said, we got big news coming.
No, he always says that.
but he was talking
what's
about...
What's the lyrics? People know that these are... I know the CIA would say, what you hear is all hearsay. No, I can't remember. He said something about conspiracies, and I said, no, they're not. I don't remember. Watch a live video. You'll find it yourself. Anyways, my name is Stephen Johnston.
I'm Becca.
Thanks for listening to American Brews and Tunes.
Bye.
Poop.
Here's a theme song. You know it's not a mean song. It's a good song, just as it should song, American Brews and Tunes.
Shibbity-bibbity.